Angry words, oh, let them never. Anger has done mankind a lot of harm. You know, if I were to ask you the question, who was the first angry person that you read about in the Bible? What would your answer be? Be Cain? The reality is, even though it doesn't say it, I think Adam was the first angry man. I mean, how could he not be angry? Look at the way that he responded to God when God approached him in the garden. He tried to shift blame. He said, "You're the woman that you gave me." It seems like he was a little angry. And he probably, I'm sure, was. I'm sure that Eve was also angry. You know, this is an emotion that goes all the way back to the beginning. And ever since Cain killed his brother Abel, men have allowed anger to destroy, to kill. Wars break out because people are angry. Anger. It is an emotion that is often spoken of in the Bible. Last Sunday evening we studied from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. And we mentioned the need to live righteously, holy lives in our service to God. And as we got down to verses 26 and 27, we made mention of those passages. But this morning, I want to take a little time and I want to spend it dealing with the subject specifically of anger. The Apostle Paul says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Now, in this passage, there are three instructions given. Number one, be angry and do not sin. So we understand that anger has its place, its rightful place, but we need to be very careful with it because it can lead us into sin. I think that's very clear by that first admonition. Be angry, but don't sin with your anger. Secondly, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't hold it in. Don't internalize it. You deal with it correctly and you deal with it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath in verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Listen, the devil uses anger. In fact, he uses many other emotions that we may experience to lead us to do things that are contrary to the will of God and in fact hurt other people. So, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. In fact, if you look on down to verses 31 and 32, the Apostle Paul there goes on and he says, and listen carefully to the things that he says here, the attitudes or dispositions that he mentions. Listen to what he says. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now you think about all of those sins that he just mentioned there. Bitterness. Where does bitterness come from? I'll tell you where bitterness comes from. Bitterness comes from internalized anger. We get angry and we hold it in and it simmers and it just builds, it grows. And we become bitter. And wrath. Well, wrath is certainly an expression of anger. And then anger itself is mentioned. And clamor. And evil speaking. We'll talk about these a little more in a few moments. But I wanted to get you to see all these things are dealing with or associated with anger and how we deal with our anger. And in contrast to that, in verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." So forgiveness is a very important thing also to consider when you're dealing with the subject of anger. Very important. What is anger? Well, I like this definition. Someone defined it this way: a strong feeling of intense displeasure, hostility, and indignation as a result of a real or imagined threat, insult, frustration, or injustice towards yourself or others important to you. a strong feeling. Yes, anger is a strong feeling, and it can get out of control. Intense displeasure as a result of real or imagined threats, insults, frustrations, or injustices. Now think about that. Real or imagined. How many times have you found yourself very angry and then later come to find out you really shouldn't have been that angry about that after all? You realize that you shouldn't have gotten so upset. Maybe it was something you heard somebody said about you, and you thought that they were gossiping about you. So eventually, though, you find out that person never really said it, but you've been angry at that person for months. That person didn't say that. We need to be careful about our anger. But the reality is anger, whether it's based upon real or imagined threats, insults, or frustrations, is still a powerful emotion that can lead us to do great harm in our life. And it is also always associated with people that are important or things that are important. I mean, you know what? If something was destroyed or something was damaged that I cared absolutely nothing about, would it make me angry? No. But what if something was destroyed? What if you tore up something that was very important to me? It'd make me angry. Anger is associated with things that we care about. Things that are damaged, things that are taken away from us, things that are harmed or hurt, that are important to me. So that's the thought that we need to keep in mind too as we go through this, especially when we deal with the idea of righteous indignation. There are three different categories of anger. You have explosive rage, you have suppressed resentment, and you have righteous indignation. Now I want to tell you, the first two here are bad. They're bad for others and they're bad for you. Explosive rage. Angry words will let them never. We can let our tongue loose and we can say things that hurt people without thinking about it. Explosive rage. I guess you could say there are two kinds of anger. You have the powder keg anger and you have the crock pot anger. The suppressed resentment. Crock pot anger. Just let it simmer. And it grows. And bitterness, resentment comes from this kind of anger. So explosive rage and suppressed resentment. And then you have righteous indignation. Well, that word righteous there ought to give us a hint. We're talking about the right kind of anger here. Righteous indignation. You know, God is often spoken of in Scripture as being angry. We read some 490 times of people being upset, angry in the Bible. And 350 of those times it's God. He's angry. We read of God being angry a lot in the Scripture. But He has a right to be angry. Righteous indignation. He hates sin. And He becomes angry with sin. And He becomes angry with sinners. His wrath, as we studied this morning in our Bible class from the book of Revelation chapter 13, the wrath of God is poured out upon people. Wrath, anger. In Numbers chapter 25, verses 3 through 11, 2 Chronicles 36 and 16, we read of God's anger in the Old Testament. He was angry because the children of Israel turned away from Him and turned to the Baals. He was angry also in the New Testament because of man turning away from the right order of things. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." God's wrath is going to be poured out on all those who who reject Him, who do not serve Him and obey Him. God's wrath. Clearly we read about that in the Bible. Yes, God is angry with sin. But He's also a God of love and willing to forgive. Also, Jesus expressed righteous anger in Mark chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. And John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. That second one there, very familiar to us. When He went in and He turned over the money changers' tables in the temple. The zeal of my house hath eaten me up, the Scripture was clear to say. And it was applied to Jesus. Zeal. Jesus expressed anger. You know, in fact, in John's account, John chapter 2, it says that Jesus made a whip of cords. He took the time to get this thing put together so He could drive out the money changers. Now, I don't know if He hit anybody or not. But He had the whip in His hand, and it says He drove them out. Jesus was angry. And in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16, Revelation 6 and verse 16, the Scripture there says, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." The wrath of the Lamb. Who is that? It's Jesus. So Jesus expressed righteous anger, and He's going to express righteous anger. So anger in and of itself is not bad. Be angry and do not sin. We need to, though, make sure that our anger is directed towards the right kind of things. And it is controlled. Christians can have righteous anger. In James 1 and verse 19 also, the Scripture speaks there of wrath and the importance of controlling wrath. It's very dangerous. So we need to understand that. But in James 1, and again, verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Slow to wrath. Yes, wrath may come. But you shouldn't be a person who is quick-tempered, quickly angered. You need to be an individual who is slow to wrath. Jesus was slow to wrath, but He got angry. God is slow to wrath, but He gets angry. We also need to be slow to wrath. And we need to make sure that the right kind of things make us angry. For example, in Psalms 119, verse 104, David said, "I hate every false way." Error ought to make us angry. False teaching, sin, those are the kinds of things that ought to make us angry. In the book of Romans chapter 12, turn with me over to Romans 12 for just a moment, please, if you have your New Testaments. Romans 12, verse 19, beginning. Paul says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, first of all, do not give place to wrath. Don't avenge yourselves. Do not give place to wrath. Don't allow your wrath that you have to motivate you to harm somebody else, to get back, to get even, in fact, get ahead. That's the way a lot of people's motto goes. I don't get even, I get ahead. But we need to not give place to wrath. And let God take care of those things. And in fact, if our enemy, now he's made us angry. Our enemy has made us angry. He's done something bad to us, and he's made us angry. How are we to respond? Not in kind, but with kindness. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. In so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Hopefully you will awaken his conscience and help him to realize that he shouldn't be treating you like he is. don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So there is such a thing as righteous anger. God is angry, Christ has been angry and is angry and will be angry, and we can be angry, but we need to control it. Emotions are, in fact, that's an interesting word, emotions. Emotion. Motion. What does that mean? That means something that moves. Something that is in motion is something that is moving. Emotions move people. And anger can move us to do good. It can put us out of apathy to accomplish great things and to achieve great goals. We can expose sin and false teachers. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, we are to expose those things that are in darkness. We're not to partake with those things of darkness, but rather we are to expose them. And when we see sin, I mean, we ought to be angry about sin. It ought to bother us. And it ought to move us to want to expose that to do what's right. Because we want this person that's guilty of this sin to do what's right. We want them to be right with God. We don't want them to go to hell. We don't want them to commit sin because, by the way, sin hurts people. And so we're exposing sin and false teachers. False teachers are... they're fighting against God. And we ought to expose them. And we ought to fight against them with the Word of God in the right way, speaking the truth in love. Standing up for the truth. Jude 1 and verse 3 says we're to contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to defend it. And when we see people who are lost, then, you know, we ought to get angry at the devil. And we ought to get angry at the false doctrine that's out there. And we ought to stand up for the truth and contend for it. We ought to be people who are zealous in the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. Zeal. Zeal and anger are great motivators. Defending someone who is mistreated. Standing up for the rights of others who are downtrodden. Isaiah 10 and verse 2 and Matthew 23 and verse 14. What about widows and what about fatherless people? What about individuals who are being harmed? Well, we ought to stand up. Let me tell you something. You know, there are things that are taking place in this country that ought to make us angry. Abortion is something that ought to make us angry. It ought to make us angry, furious. In fact, can you think of anyone that is more innocent than an unborn child? And it ought to make us angry that people are murdering human being after human being, millions, every year, right here in this country. We ought to get angry about things like that. But again, we must handle it in the right way. Anger can motivate us to stand up against wrongs that are being done in our society. Stand up against the oppressors and stand for those who are being oppressed and help them. Anger is a great motivator. But again, we must be careful how we respond or utilize our anger. Righteous anger is not vested in self-interest. It's not. In fact, that's one of the great warning signs that my anger is sinful. That I'm angry because someone has ridiculed me, made fun of me, mocked me. Now that, to be angry, okay, but I need to let that go. I need to let that go. You know, we need to ask ourselves some questions like, am I angry because I am being questioned or criticized? Does that bother you, by the way, if you're ever questioned or criticized by someone else? Does that anger you? Why? Why would that anger you? Or is it without a justifiable cause? Am I becoming angry without a justifiable cause? God's word hasn't been attacked. Those who are around me that I care about,
they haven't been attacked. Maybe it's just my pride that's been attacked. Now, certainly we should be willing to stand up. And yes, it does make us angry when people attack our honor, our character. But we, again, need to follow Paul's instruction. Don't be overcome with wrath. In fact, overcome evil with good. Is it without a justifiable cause? Many times I think people get angry and they really don't have a right to be angry. Or am I cherishing anger? There's a story of this lady who went to this counselor one time. She goes in and she understands she's got a problem with anger, and she's wanting this counselor to help her. And he's giving her these tips on how to overcome her anger. And she gets through reading the list and she says, "I can't do this." He says, "Well, why not?" She said, "Well, if I overcome my anger, if I get rid of my anger, I won't have anything left." I think there are people out there who are just, they've been angry so long, and they're so angry that they feel like if they give up their anger, they won't be themselves anymore. That's become a part of their life, who they are. Am I cherishing anger? Am I holding it in and holding on to it and letting that be a guiding principle in my life? Do I have vengeful thoughts? How about my anger? Okay, I'm angry. It's a justifiable cause, but wait a minute. Am I having vengeful thoughts? Am I wanting to hurt somebody else? Or do I have an unforgiving spirit? You've made me angry, and I'll never forgive you for it. Forgiveness is very important when it comes to dealing with anger. If we have an unforgiving spirit, you know what? Every time somebody makes me angry, I internalize that and I hold it against them. And every time a person hurts me, I internalize it, I hold it against them. And you know what? It's not going to take very long because, friend, to be honest with you, we live in a world where a lot of people hurt us. And if we just continue to keep score, eventually it will overwhelm us. We have to have a forgiving spirit, desiring to forgive when people hurt. And how can I forgive when it hurts so much? Well, I need to be like Christ. Forms of sinful anger. Forms of sinful anger. There in Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 31 and 32, these things are mentioned. Bitterness. Bitterness is a spirit of resentment. And we can be consumed, the Hebrew writer says, of bitterness. It can consume us and it will destroy us. It can lead to depression, hatred, and revenge. Bitterness. Wrath is a boiling, agitated feeling. We're just continually agitated all the time. In fact, have you ever been around a person who is a person of wrath? I mean, you have to walk around like you're walking on eggshells. You know, you have to be careful of everything you say because you never know when they just may lay into you. Anger seized within a man and may break out in some word or action which attacks the person or character of the one against whom it expresses contempt. Seize within a man or woman. We can get angry and it just builds and boils. So a boiling, agitated state and then anger breaking out into words and actions. Angry words, oh, let them never. Clamor is the outburst of noisy contentions. The original word meant to cry out. Well, clamor is a result of wrath and anger and bitterness. Bitterness is that internal spirit of resentment. Wrath is that boiling, agitated feeling that you have inside. Anger is that which sees and which comes out and it breaks out in words and actions. And clamor is then that outburst of noisy contentions. We pitch a fit. And slander means that we then turn on someone else and we accuse, we speak against them, we try to hurt them with our words. So these are forms of sinful anger, or effects, I guess you could say, of sinful anger. As it grows and escalates in our life and as it seeks to destroy other people. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, the wise men said, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Again, slow to wrath. For anger rests in the bosom of fools. It rests. It takes up residence there. And only a fool, only fools, hold it in, internalize it, and allows it to destroy their attitude towards God and towards other human beings. Proverbs 14 and verse 17 says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." If we allow our emotions to just go unchecked, and when we get angry, we just respond, we react quickly to that, we will do foolish things. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We need to be careful how we speak to people. The harsh words stir up anger. We need to be careful from our end that we're not guilty of causing other people to become angry. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. We need more folks who are slow to anger. In Proverbs 16 and verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, for he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." When you've conquered your own spirit, your own emotions, and you keep them in check, you are a powerful individual. The Apostle Paul says that he disciplined his body daily. It takes self-control. And we need to be people of self-control. In Proverbs 22, 24 through 25, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." Don't be around people who are hot-tempered, that are angry. And, of course, reality is, most of us don't want to be around hot-tempered, angry people. It's really not a drawing characteristic. An appealing characteristic. So be careful that you are not around individuals like that. So what are some causes of anger? Causes of sinful anger. Number one, not getting our way. Not getting our way. People grow angry when they lose control of a situation. When we're out of control, we get angry because we want to be in control. Not getting our way. Members of the church sometimes get angry because they don't get their way. We get angry at work because we don't get our way. We get angry at home as a husband or wife because we don't get our way. Let me tell you something. You're not going to always get your way. In fact, you shouldn't want to always get your way. You ought to be an individual who wants to serve others, to cooperate, to help. Not someone who wants to always get their way. Feeling rejected. You know what? Rejection hurts. And being excluded or overlooked or mistreated can stir up hostility. When we are rejected by others, it hurts. And the temptation is to respond with anger. Loss. Loss of what we cherish or simply fearing that loss can make us angry. We get angry because we lose someone we love to death. And what many people do is they get angry at God. I heard a man one time in a family room at the hospital and lost his wife. And he cursed God over and over and over again. People get angry. You know, Job lost everything except his wife. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let us never be guilty of getting angry at God. But loss certainly can cause anger. Disappointment. Unmet expectations can lead to anger. We get disappointed. Maybe your wife or your husband doesn't do something that you asked them to do. And so that's a disappointment to you. You get angry about that? Okay, well, handle it in the right way. But we can realize that unmet expectations can lead to anger, and it'll lead us to do things and say things that we shouldn't. And injustice. When we are mistreated, we can become hateful, vengeful, or bitter. Now, you know, injustice can be a right cause of anger. But here, when we are treated unjustly, we are mistreated, we can become hateful, vengeful, and bitter toward that person that has hurt us. In fact, depending on the size of the pain, the size of the hurt, we can lose control very easily when we are mistreated. Injustice. Feeling inadequate, comparing our life to the lives of others may upset us. We look around and we see how everyone else is, and it makes us angry that we are not at that level. We can get angry. We feel inadequate for a task, for a cause, and we're angry. We're angry with God because He hadn't blessed us with this particular gift. We're angry at others because they won't give us an opportunity. We're angry at society. And you know, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in an age, in a country, where there are a lot of angry people. In fact, there's a word for that. Class warfare. There's anger out there. People are upset because they don't have what somebody else has. So, not getting our way, feeling rejected, loss, disappointment, injustice, feeling inadequate, all these are causes of sinful anger. What are some effects of anger? What are some effects of sinful anger? Well, there are physical effects. There are mental effects, emotional effects. The body, God did not make it to handle anger for long periods of time. That's why God says, "Be angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." We are not people who need to hold in anger because it can destroy us. It can lead to severe depression, inactivity. It can lead to a lot of serious health problems, hypertension, high blood pressure. It can lead to heart problems. We need to be careful. The physical effects of anger are both immediate and long term. Destroys relationships. Families are destroyed because of anger. Whether it be the wife or the husband, they get angry with one another, and they most of the time internalize that anger, and they let it build up and build up until finally it explodes. Things are said, things are done, and before you know it, your family is destroyed. Anger. Friendships. Friendships that had gone so close and so tight. I have known of friendships, people like sisters and brothers who have separated because of anger. Churches, businesses, communities. Anger is a devastating thing to relationships. Passive aggression occurs when we're angry about something, but we express it, our negative feelings, in indirect or passive ways. We sulk. We cease communication. And that engenders anger in other people. And it harms the relationship. Passive aggression is a result of anger. Internalized anger. And people don't know that we're angry, and it builds and builds and builds until eventually it has destroyed your attitude toward God and towards other people. And depression. No, depression can certainly be chemical. Chemical imbalances take place, and there are medications that can help that. And people who have clinical depression, you know, they need to seek out medical assistance and find help that way. But most often, depression is a result. It is caused by guilt and internalized, repressed anger. We need to deal with this effectively. We need to learn how to deal with it. Broken relationship with God is one of the consequences of sinful anger, along with broken relationship with others. Absence of peace in our life. We have a critical spirit. We're always harping on what somebody else is not doing that they ought to be doing. And we're very critical at others. And emotional isolation, we withdraw. We withdraw from others. And we're happy with our anger. And we isolate ourselves. Frustration and anxiety. We're always worried. And obstructionism. We oppose everything that comes along. We're always something that wants to jam up the gears. Or we lose enthusiasm. We lose our zeal for good. And we lack focus. Because we're focused on our anger. You know, going back to Ephesians chapter 4, it says that in verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You know, anger and the things that result from anger grieves God's heart, because He sees people hurting other people. And it hinders His work. We become angry, maybe, as a congregation. There are several who perhaps get angry with something that's done or something that's not done. And we begin to complain and murmur, and that anger begins to seethe within us. And we just come to a halt when it comes to doing our work. We cannot be effective when anger has its grip on us as an individual or as a group. It prevents God's blessings. God will not bless those who are angry without cause. It prevents His blessings because, in fact, it destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. It destroys associations. And it destroys the peace in our life. So it hinders or prevents God's blessings. So the threefold warning again: be angry and sin not. Make sure our anger is justified and controlled. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't internalize it. Don't hold on to it. You get rid of it. You let it go. Let it go. Do not give the devil an opportunity. You know, the devil's always looking for inroads into our life. He's wanting something to grab a hold of. He just wants one little crack so that he can come in. So don't give him that. Don't give the devil an opportunity with your anger to take control of your life. So how do we handle anger? How do we handle it? What do we do about it? All right? Number one, we need to own up to it. We need to recognize anger for what it is. We need to recognize, if we're having a problem, we need to recognize it as a problem and we need to deal with it. We need to identify the source of our anger. Don't misdirect your response. Identify the source. Oftentimes we want to blame other people for our anger, but in truth, it's not the other person. It's not what they've done. It's me. It's me. It's the way I look at things. It's my attitude towards them. It's me. So I need to think about the source of my anger. Deal correctly with anger and do it quickly. Don't blow up. Don't have powder keg anger and just explode every time somebody says a crossword to you or does something that upsets you. Don't blow up and don't let it simmer either. Don't do either one. Deal correctly. Deal correctly. Let God handle it. You do good. Going back to Romans chapter 12. You do good. You respond in kindness, not in kind, but with kindness. And you let God take vengeance. Deal correctly and quickly with anger. And don't hold on to it. Forgive others just as God forgave you. God is always willing to forgive. I tell you, if we have a heart that's willing to forgive, we're not going to internalize our anger. We're not going to hold on to it. We're going to want to forgive. We are going to want what is best for that person that has hurt us. And we need to go to them and talk to them. And if they repent, forgive them. Be proactive. We need to learn to identify the things that cause us to be angry. There are a lot of things in life. I mean, we live in a busy, hurry-up world. And maybe we get angry because the lines at Walmart are too long. Maybe we get angry because there are people in front of us that aren't driving fast enough. Maybe we get angry because as we pull up to a red light, the light turns green and the person in front of us doesn't go. And we allow things like that to make us angry. We need to stop and think. Why am I getting angry at those kind of things? Maybe I just need to slow down a little bit. Maybe I'm in too big a hurry. Be proactive. We need to identify the things that cause our anger and why we get angry as quickly as we do. We need to read God's Word. We need to get our nose in the book. And we need to study the Scriptures. And we need to pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 4. We need to pray for wisdom. When trials, tribulations, and persecutions come upon us, as James is talking about there in James 1, you know, the response that could be had is we get angry. We get angry with the people that are hurting us. We get angry with God because He's letting that happen to us. But we need to pray for wisdom. And always be ready to forgive. Imitate Christ. That's very important. I know I've said that several times. I'm repeating myself. That's very important. Acknowledgement of God's grace and count our blessings. You know what? If we are constantly counting our blessings and we are receiving the grace of God and we're appreciative of it, I tell you, it's going to help our anger. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. And mental discipline. Think on these things, Paul says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And listen to what he says in verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Anger doesn't bring peace when it's uncontrolled and when it's left to simmer in our heart. In fact, it brings chaos, disruption, and destruction. Anger doesn't bring peace. We need to focus on the things of God. We need to let go of our anger. If we are an angry person, we need to let go of it. And we need to turn to God for help. You know, anger unchecked and uncontrolled can lead a person to a lonely, miserable, and godless life. There are a lot of angry people in this world. And oh, how they need God. Because God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God can lead us to love, to joy, and peace. And of course, the end result of that is eternal life. But too many allow anger to destroy themselves, destroy their attitude, to destroy their love for friends and relatives and even God Himself. Anger is a destructive thing when left uncontrolled and allowed to reside in one's heart. Let's deal with anger. Let's be slow to wrath. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel. I haven't talked about that. Let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, it brings life. It brings peace. It brings joy. And you need that. Maybe you need to obey the gospel this morning. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you need to be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you need to be raised to walk in the newness of life. And I'll tell you, the life of a Christian is a life of joy and peace. And you can have that if you'll just submit your life to the Lord and become like Him. Maybe you're here and you are a member of the body of Christ, but there's something in your life, and perhaps it's even anger, that you need to deal with. Well, I encourage you to do that. If there's something you need to make known this morning in public, then please do that as together we stand and sing.